I know, right? I hate the recording. I could ask you what your thoughts are on AI, but it's kind of on a dark note, and that's been like a topic for like the past couple episodes. You have thoughts on AI?
I mean, yeah, but they're probably more optimistic than most people's would be.
In what sense?
Well, like obviously there's like bad stuff that is being done with it. But that's going to happen no matter what, like no matter what you make and make anything, and somebody will find a bad thing to do with it. It's just like, maybe that's a little scarier because it's, you can do it to a lot of people at once, which is scary. But again, that's everything. So I there's so much good that can come from it that I don't know. I think it's okay to focus on it and not be scared on all the scary stuff.
Well, I remember when I was, when the Matrix first came out, you know, like, I think I was like, first grade, kindergarten or whatever, when I first came out, it was always playing in my dad's room. And I don't ever recall what the plot was. I'm like, this is just cool action, right?
It's reality. That's the plot.
Yeah. Well, and then when you watch the whole trilogy, because I recently rewatched the whole trilogy for the new movie, and I didn't realize, and I even watched like the Animatrix, which is like the...
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. You've seen it.
Love it. Yeah.
Cool. I had no idea what it was in store for, and it just, you know, expands on the lore of the Matrix. I'm like, this got fucking dark. Like, I'm glad that little me had no idea what the fuck this was all about, because, you know, now it's like, yikes.
Yeah. Did you like the new one?
I did. I watched it I think two times or three times.
Did you like it the first time you watched it?
I didn't know how to feel about it the first time watched it, which is why I rewatched it. Then I realized, it kind of had more going for it than not. This is the same thing with like Halloween Kills. I was very split on that, you know, with Michael Myers being Michael Myers, and then I was like, I got to rewatch it. And I actually really enjoyed it the second time around. So,
okay. I toyed with it. I didn't even finish the new Matrix. I like the whole time I just like kept making this face. And then I was like, it's going to redeem itself. I'm going to give it a chance, because the Matrix is one of my favorite movies of all time, you know? So I kept wanting to give it a chance. And then I was like, I can't do it. I can't do it. And then I started reading about it. All these people, you know, like everybody had their takes on it. And everyone's like raving about it and like saying it's different and like it's supposed to be bad. And like, I get it. I get what they were doing, but I can't get past it. The color is wrong, and it's not, it doesn't feel like dark enough. I don't know, but I have toyed with the idea of watching it again. I just think I have to wait like a year.
You should revisit it. It's not as bad as people are saying. I think here's what I've come to learn with all these franchises is people have their own expectations of how they should be, right? Like in their minds, how it should be, whatever. And then like, I mean, if this was directed by somebody completely different, I would like understand, you know, but this is like still the same director and the same writers and stuff. I'm like, this is how they intended it to be, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, they had a very strong reasoning for doing it how they did, which is compelling.
But and from my understanding too, is more of like a story about grief. Like that's how she explored grief with her parents passing, you know, was through this movie. And like looking at it through that lens, I was able to kind of like connect those dots. And I'm like, oh, it's more of like an epilogue than it is like an official part of the trilogy. You know what I mean? It's just like an afterthought essentially.
But the ending though.
What about the ending?
So I walked away, came back, and I saw Uber cheese, like the uberiest, cheesiest, I don't know. I will take your word for it, though, and try. I will try to watch it again.
Wait, what was this Uber cheese you're talking about?
like at the very end when they're like together and they like fly off. I don't know.
Oh,
it just felt very okay. like.
Nah, I could get there. I can get that. Yeah. So, I mean, anyways, that's the thoughts that come to mind when Zoom's like, hey, this is recording, because it's a really robotic voice anyway. And it's just, I don't know. I've seen Twitter videos of androids talking. It's just like,
They're so cool. I saw one. So I did this. I watched this debate between androids.
Yeah.
And they're like behind the podium. It's very legit. And they start debating about whether humans are good. And whether like, and the female android is like, you know, talking about how wonderful humans are and how they're just like confused and complex and they just want to love people. And then the male android is like, okay, but they've done some horrible things. Like, are they even capable of blah, blah, blah. It just goes back and forth. And then out of nowhere, the lady android starts singing Bjork. Like... perfectly. It's the most bizarre thing you'll ever see. I'll send it to you after. It's definitely worth watching. Yeah, but so I ended up making like a project with it. It was weird. Very weird.
Okay. Well, okay. On that note, then let's have you introduce yourself. That way we could talk more about what you do.
Sure. Now?
Now.
I'm Icene. I make music and stuff.
You do stuff and stuff. Well, I was telling you too before we start recording. Like, you released a video literally an hour ago. Is what it looks like on Instagram. Mm-hmm. For one of your was it your title song for your new EP?
Yeah, yeah, the main track.
And then I was watching it, but I saw a tarantula, and I was like, okay, I get it, because your cover art is a spider, which is really terrifying looking, and I hate spiders, but I have a fascination of watching videos of them for whatever reason.
They move funny.
Do you have a tarantula? Like, do you actually own one?
No. I love them from a distance. I've had two tarantulas crawl over my hand. Once when I was like, I think it was like 5 or 6 in Texas. Nobody believes me, but I put my hand on the refrigerator I was bringing groceries in, and then a tarantula like walked across it and I screamed. And my mom was just like, you just don't want to put the groceries away or whatever. And then the other time was I fell asleep in a desert and I woke up and there was a tarantula. That was fun. Never did that again.
Was it like face hugging you, you know, like alien style, or was it?
No, that would have been a completely different memory. Just my hand.
But you're just your eyelids kind of opening up, and then like the legs are like stuck to your eyelid too.
Oh God. Okay. I don't want to see what the underneath. I don't know what the underneath of a spider looks like, and I'm good with that. I'm okay.
Have you seen a spider molt before? Like those videos?
Molt? Like molt. Shrivel up?
Yeah. So no. It's when they shed, their skin, right? And then their old skin shrivels up or whatever.
Oh.
It's the most terrifying looking creature ever.
That seems kind of cool.
It's cool, but it's really terrifying. Like, if you could totally include that into, like, a horror film, part of a montage, and people would fucking freak out. Like, it's that kind of weird process. That's really cool, but, like, fuck that. I don't know, like, a whole nother level, you know?
That's definitely going to be in my next video.
Yes!
I have to find that. I need to write this down.
So, with that EP, then, you came out with that, like, how long ago? Your newest one on Spotify.
Oh, that came out on the 15th.
Yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I know, perfect timing. And then, but I released the single two weeks ago.
That's why I've seen you. That's why I saw you promoting all this time. Then I listened to it today while I was working.
The whole thing?
The whole thing.
Oh, wow.
It's good. No, I like it. my favorite is probably Venom.
Oh, yeah. The first version.
Yeah, it has a really catchy melody to it. And even the remix that's on there, it's just really cool. I put them both in my liked playlist, you know, on Spotify.
Nice.
So
now
I can find them easier. So they're really cool.
Thank you. That's one of my favorites. And I'm surprised that wasn't more people's favorites, because it seems like it's more like the music that I was making when I put out my first album. So I was just kind of shocked, I guess, but yeah, that one's a personal favorite. I like it a lot. So
What got you into music making, essentially?
I don't know. I've just always kind of done it in some form. When I was really, really young, like elementary school, after school, I'd come home and I'd write songs, but it would just be like the singing and the lyrics, you know? And then I got older and got really into theater, musical theater. Oklahoma is like my favorite. And then I joined bands in high school. I was in a band in my early, when I was like 20, 21, I was in a band. And I just played rhythm guitar and did vocals. And then I don't know what, I just kind of stopped for a while. But I was always coming up with songs in my head. And it just got to a point where I felt like if I don't do this, I'm going to either hate myself when I'm like 60 or I'm going to go nuts. Cause I, you know, just it's a really shitty feeling to want to do something and love something and just like push it aside forever, you know? So I didn't know how to go about getting a band again. Cause I didn't like socialize. I stopped doing that. So I just started making on my computer. And it's way more fun because I get to have all the control. and I don't have to, you know, be on anybody else's time or, so yeah, I guess I've always done it in some way.
And so the style of your music is more of like a synth pop, right? Like, is that like a dark synth pop? Is that how you would kind of define it? It's getting there.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to do, but it was really hard for me to figure it out. So my first album is just a mess. It's a lot of sounds. And they sound like a spaceship. I mean, that is what I was going for technically, but I also didn't know what I was doing. But synth pop is what I would like to be making, electro pop. I hope that's what I made this time around. I guess.
I like it. But I'm a huge slut for synth sounds anyway. Like in a movie, if I hear a synth come on, I'm like, oh yeah. Like, whoops, pumps you up. You know? Like,
do you like old 80s movies and those soundtracks?
I do.
Like, okay.
I do. I like those. I like even the newer ones. I mean, there's a movie that's called, I think it's called Cold in July, if I'm not mistaken. It has the guy who plays Dexter in it, but the whole soundtrack is like a synth score and it's nice. Really badass and moody, I guess is the right word to put it. Yeah. And then, you know, you have John Carpenter doing scores and albums and shit. And
oh God, I love him so much. You know, he just put out like a metal song. What, like 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
There's no way. Weird. John Carpenter.
Yeah. It's like 2000s. Radio metal. It's very weird, but he did.
That's like, what's his name, Christopher Lee doing that metal song. Have you heard that one? Yeah, it's like a death metal Christopher Lee song when he's like 90 years old.
Oh my God, I'm writing this one too. You're giving me all types of tidbits today.
it's wild, but yeah, I don't know. I admire the synth stuff too because there's so much that goes into it, I'd imagine, you know, because I mean, I don't know anything about music. I'm going to be upfront about it, right? But I imagine you have to come up with the melody and then like the bass line stuff and then all these other cool atmospheric ambient sounds behind that. Yeah. But it's all, I'd imagine it's all note based, right? Like it's all in the same key kind of a thing.
Yeah. You know, music perfectly well. That's exactly what it is. You pick a key and then you write your bass line and you write your melody and then you add some like some ethereal
yeah
sounds, atmosphere. Yeah, that's a song. The only thing you're missing is drums. You're set.
Oh yeah, the drums, you know, at a tempo or whatever. the snare and the clap. So how did you learn music then?
By accident. I remember mostly just by ear. I would just make what sounded good, and then if something sounded off, I would send it to someone and I'd say, why does this suck? And most of the time they'd be like, it's fine. It's very creative. Like that's, which is not what you want to hear. Anybody can be creative. I want to make something that makes sense. But I sent it to, one time I got actual feedback and they were like, well, this part is out of key. And I was like, what do you mean it's out of key? I only had a vague idea of what in key meant. And it was just like, to me forever, that was just, if I'm singing and it sounds bad, oh, that's out of key. So, yeah. So then I was like, I realized, okay, so that's one thing about a song is it all needs to be in the same key. And that's kind of how it all went. Like I just learned, I stumbled through it so hard and I'm still stumbling through it. I don't know.
Do you know how to read notes now or is that still in the works too?
Reading notes. Well, I did play clarinet. So I know like every good boy does fine. I can do that. But no, I'm learning, I'm getting scales. I've just actually started practicing scales. So I could memorize them because it's hard having to refer to a notebook every time I'm writing a melody. So yeah, it's, I'm working on that, but I still don't know how to really read music. I still don't understand music theory. But it is something I want to learn. I'm working on it, but nah, I know nothing.
Well, you know, that puts you and I in the same boat because I don't know anything either. So it's kind of a lie. Like I took guitar lessons back in the day, but I know very few chords. So it's like, is it really knowing the guitar?
Oh yeah, totally. If you know chords, you know the guitar.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, then I'll like find random TikTok videos of guitar players being like, this is how you know which note you're playing. And this one I saw was like, oh, hey, the first note, the first string, right, is a open E, and you go down two strings like on the second fret, and that's also an E. But then you go down two more frets on like the second or on the second string or whatever. I don't know. It was just like, huh, interesting.
Good to know.
Don't know how I'm going to apply that to my life, but I'm glad that I came across that video for whatever reason.
It's good to know stuff just to know stuff.
It is. What kind of music did you grow up listening to then?
I remember my first favorite song.
Backstreet Boys.
No, it's much further back than that. I think it's a Kansas song, Carry On Our Wayward Son.
Yeah.
Like I was like six, favorite song. I'd freak out. And that Hammer Time song. You know what I'm talking about? Those are my two first favorite songs. But after that, I've always just kind of listened to everything. Everything from like, I had Barbra Streisand albums that I wore out, like on my record player, obsessed with Barbra Streisand. And then I also liked, Queen, like just the basic stuff when I was a kid, nothing like surprising or cool. Just a lot of phases. Listen, I went through an R&B phase and I went through a country phase for sure. Everything. I don't know. Oh, punk phase.
Is the punk phase like the same thing as the emo phase that everybody seems to go through as well?
Nope, that was different, but I also went through that. Everything. I listened to everything growing up. I think it would kind of go along with just me trying to figure out who I was too. I was a mess. Like I had no clue who I was. So I just went through all these phases. And the good thing about it is that I got to listen to a lot of different kinds of music and I got to appreciate it all. Yeah. Now it's kind of the same. I listen to everything. I do listen to a lot more, synthwave than I used to. And I like progressive metal a lot. And black metal. Yeah, that's about it.
Sounds pretty metal. I love when bands incorporate different genres, you know, like with their metal, there's like that synth breakdown or whatever. It's just the cherry on top of like epicness, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't know how you could include that into a movie. That'd be pretty dope, but.
Oh, there's gotta be a way. John Carpenter will do it. He's already working on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just have to get him out of the like 2000s butt rock.
I just want him to come back and direct, you know, like.
Yeah, that would be cool.
And instead, he just sits there and just scores movies based off of his own franchise that he.
I think he just did a song with Churches.
Who's Churches?
What? Okay. They're synth pop. They're like the biggest synth pop band there is now. They're huge. They just did a song with. They also did a song with The Cure, just now.
Who's The Cure? I'm just kidding. I know who The Cure is. Just kidding.
Hurting me.
I wonder though. Hold on. Let's see. Is it C H U R or is it like a weird spelling?
It's spelled with a V. The U is a V.
Do I have them in any of my playlists?
You have to. They're so big. I'd be very surprised.
Like song. Bear with me, hold on. CHV.
Mm-hmm. Their best song is Science and Visions. If you like synth, you'd love that because they go off on it.
I'm going to add them to my list. I don't have them on my list, surprisingly. I think they pop up on my daily list, though, like, you know, Spotify's little curated playlist.
Yeah, I bet they do.
Yeah.
But you have to listen to Science and Visions first.
Science and Visions first.
Yes.
Yeah, I will do that after we're done with this. When I'm doing dishes and being an adult. So with your music then, when would you say that you kind of took off into more of the solo stuff? Like you said, was that in your 20s when you couldn't figure out how to start a new band basically? Or
oh, that was last year. I just started. I made 2 albums in a year. So I just started learning during COVID.
What?
How to produce, yeah.
No.
I told you, I didn't even know that a song was supposed to be in a key. Like I
that so was dumb. All within this last year.
Yes.
That's fucking cool. using the COVID time wisely, I see.
Very. Yeah.
What program do you use?
FL Studio mostly. I used it a little bit, like one of the guys in my band in high school would record us on FL, what was Fruity Loops then. So that was the one that I knew the name. So I was like, I'm going to get that one. and then I just started using Ableton Live. So I'm trying to learn how to like live loop and do cool, like finger pad stuff. Like I watch videos of people go in there. You can't even see their hands. They're just like going off. I want to be able to do that.
So how do you program those pads? That's always been like whenever I see it, right? And they play like a sample or whatever. I'm like, how do you actually program that?
It's a pain, actually. It takes a lot. I have a launch pad and I've had it for a year and I just learned how to actually use it correctly last month. Like it's very good luck. It'll be fun.
How many sounds can it save on it?
Oh, I don't know that there's you're actually saving it to the program and then it's just linked to the launch pad. So, for that it's different because it's however many sounds you can save onto a song in the program. But I have a Roland SP404 sampler that you just punch in your memory card and that actually saves it onto the device. That one's really cool, actually. I like it. And it's, you don't have to plug it into anything. You just take it. I took it to a tunnel a couple of months ago and played it in the tunnel. And it was fun.
Did it echo quite a bit?
No echoes. I had headphones on, so I don't know.
There's, because I know like with sampling stuff, I mean, there's a, what do you want to call him? He's a DJ. We'll just call him a DJ. He does like house and trance music, you know, but.
Oh yeah. I love house.
Yeah. I mean, you've probably heard of it. BT. Have you heard of BT?
Oh, no. I don't know names.
You should. You should look up some of his stuff. Like, a lot of his stuff feels very mathematical. Like, he has a lot of glitches in his music, which is really cool, but it's, like, all done old school, where he gets, like, all the wires and plugs them into different...
Oh, he has a modular synth.
Yes, that.
Yeah.
Over my head, but yes.
Nice. I've always wanted one of those, but that I know that's going to be... That'll be a whole thing to learn too.
How do those work? You know, do you have any idea how those work or is that just?
Well, I think it's kind of like pickups. Like you just plug in the things into the things and it routes it into different sounds. I don't fully understand it. I just watch people do it on YouTube and it looks very cool. And I'm like, I want to be that cool. The very first time I saw one, I didn't understand the concept at all. And so I thought he was plugging his guitar into it. And I was, it was a live, like a live stream. I think this guy's pretty, like a pretty famous, but I put in the chat, I was like, oh my God, did you just plug your guitar into it? And then I got a bunch of people just shitting on me. So I left and I learned.
You learn not to ask questions like that in a live chat where there's a lot of know-it-all. That's the thing with like the internet. If you post your opinion anywhere, there's going to be a lot of people who disagree or agree or I don't know. Yeah. I did that a couple nights ago. And if Facebook,
you get like anxiety after you do it and you're like, no, I'm done. No more internet.
No. I mean, I was probably one of the guys picking on this other dude, as weird as it may sound, but I mean, he was being vague in this film group, being like, give us all this money for this project. And I was like, what the fuck?
Oh yeah. He deserved it.
Yeah. I'm like, get out of here. Then he deleted it. And he tried to gaslight everybody questioning him. Like he made a second post to gaslight everybody. I was like, dude, who get out of here. Anyway. He probably hated Facebook after that. So how like with doing your music now, is there some like challenges that you never thought you would have to face doing it? Like, how do you balance like work life and music life essentially? If you're not doing that full time yet?
I don't know. I thought that would be hard, but it's not. So I guess I've always felt like there's just not enough time to do anything ever, no matter what I'm doing, no matter how old I was, that was always like a huge concern of mine. So I think I manage time very well. It's just, you just get up and you do stuff and you just go until it's time to go to sleep. Then you go to sleep. And the next day you wake up and you try to fit everything in that you can. So I don't think it's hard. Maybe if you're not used to going all the time, it might be hard, but you just go, you just wake up and you do stuff. I
don't know. Just wake up and put on a lot of makeup and then whatever that next lyric is.
Pick your keys up off the table.
Yeah, that. that fast talking song, that's a classic. Have you had to like face like self doubt at all, like doing this or?
Yeah, all the time.
So like, because I know that you post quite a bit on your Instagram, and it seems like you get a lot of positive feedback. Like, do you still have anxiety sharing your work with other people like that, or?
No, I don't think it's sharing it. My anxiety comes from, or like my self-doubt just comes from the fact that I want to be really good at it. And I'm constantly aware of what I'm not good at yet and what I need to do next. So I think I have a little bit of a hack, and it's honestly just to like put blinders on and just like go and keep making stuff. That's why I put out 2 in a year. And I told myself when I finished this one, I was like, I'm going to not write an album for like 2 years, and I'll just, you know, play around and learn and like, you know, kind of write off this one and figure stuff out. But I already started writing the next one. I posted like a little snippet of it on my Instagram too. I'm wanting to do more of like a dance, like deep house type album next, but it'll still be like a little spooky, I guess, and have like alien sounds. But it was a little easier this time around, because when I released the album, I was already thinking about my next one. I'm already working on the next one. I've got things that I want to do with this one still, like some videos and, most of the self-doubt just comes from knowing that I'm very new at this. And that I have a lot to learn. And I just don't want to suck. Like, I know what I hear in my head and what I want to sound like. So when I'm listening back and it's not that sound, it drives me crazy. So So I've decided to just like vomit out all of my music into the world and then just keep doing it so that I can't get distracted by what people think about it.
So, I mean, so like as a writer for myself, I mean, there's like drafts and drafts of like different projects, right? Mm-hmm. I imagine as a musician, as yourself, because each program allows you to save different versions, I imagine, right? Like how many drafts of a song do you usually have before you get that final product that's ready to master?
So that is good advice for me. I know that's what, there's this EDM producer, Van Buren or something. I watched his masterclass and he hit that hard. He was like, always save a draft. Every 5 minutes, save your draft so that when you change it. But that's just not my style. I'm a little more chaotic. And so it feels good to just kind of like jump in and wing it. And then if I mess it up beyond repair, cry about it for like 5 minutes and then just start something new and consider it dead. I do not save drafts at all. None. And for my first album, actually, I don't have any of the instrumentals, like none of them. So when I perform them, I'll have to play all 15, 16 parts at once or re-record it.
Okay, that sounds very complicated.
It is. But for the second one, I was much better. And even though I didn't save drafts while I was writing it, I did save those versions. So instrumental versions. And so I've got that part figured out, but I don't do drafts.
I think that's fascinating.
We're dumb.
No. I mean, it might bite you in the ass later down the road. I mean, that's totally your call, you know? And, you know, interestingly enough, none of us would know about it because the stuff you release is the final product.
Yeah.
Presumably, right? Exactly. That's cool, though. I think it's really cool. And you keep, so with your albums and your album themes, like how exactly do you come up with those themes?
I'll pick a song so far. Pick a song that I feel like is the most representative of how I'm feeling in that time period. And if you're someone who like journal, like I journal every day, twice a day. So I'm very aware of my feelings, unfortunately. So I can look back and be like, man, this entire, you know, like however many months I spent writing this, there's been a pretty common theme and it always comes out in my music anyway. So I'll just find the song, and then I'll pan all of the art around that and, just kind of go with it.
I like that. I don't know. I think it's cool. I've always questioned them because, I mean, I did watch the Metallica documentary for Saint Anger, and they're trying to come up with like a theme for the album, but like it was like a therapy session, that whole documentary essentially.
Yeah.
And then really, I mean, once you like listen to the album, you're like, oh yeah, this is like an album that has a lot of issues, like in the lyrics, you know, like anger.
How did they do it? Huh? How'd they pick the theme?
If I remember correctly, they would write, so like they'd write the songs and then they'd pretty much come to a conclusion of like what songs are on the album thematically, right? And they'd put like all on a whiteboard and then all voice their reasons why the song should be on the album, why it supports whatever they're trying to go for, et cetera, et cetera. But the whole thing with that album, I mean, it's their most disliked album, arguably. Mm-hmm. I personally like it just because it sounds more like a rock band in a garage, essentially, you know, just a jamming out session. But it's because they almost broke up during that whole album, and the documentary like captured that moment when they almost broke up and all this stuff. So there's like so much drama behind it, and then eventually when they came back together, they kind of like came to a full circle of like what the album should actually be about.
Oh, that's cool. They went through a journey. I want to watch that.
To say it's a 4-hour documentary. I think it might be on something. I don't know. I'll pop you up
after
this and let you know. But it's interesting. I mean, so it always fascinates me on like what thematically would be the album, because not every album, you know, probably has a theme necessarily, mm-hmm. but more often than not, I've noticed, especially with like bands. I don't know. Have you heard of Architects?
Oh yeah.
A lot of their albums have like a huge theme to it, you know, and it's not always the happiest theme, but it's really fucking metal, like how they do it.
Yeah.
So I think it's cool. So would you say that like each album that you make or that you've made so far is reflective of like where you were in that moment, like current at that point in your life?
For sure. Yeah. Unfortunately, I think the first one is the first one is purely experimental, but that is where I was. I was just kind of experimenting with this.
Right.
Zero songs about like relationships or love. Most songs are about like like depression, suicide, and like anger, and I don't know. It's darker. This one is it is more about relationships, but it's about like using that or you know, I know this sounds awful, but you know how there's people who use relationships to grow, and they like purposefully put themselves in these like chaotic relationships because it's they need to grow somehow. And I think I was one of those people. And so that's kind of how that one came about. But it's not necessarily that that's what I was doing at the time, but that's what I was thinking about at the time and trying to figure out and like realizing like, oh, I might not be the best person. So, yeah. Yeah. Long story short.
I get that. I get that. I think I talked with, it hasn't been released yet, but on one of the future episodes of this, me and the guest kind of talked something similar to that effect of like just putting yourself in, not like literally situations, you know, but just mentally or whatever, just really, as you said, grow. Like,
yeah,
and a lot of the times too, I mean, it kind of comes to a full circle. I find like, because it offers an opportunity to kind of like self-reflect on past behaviors, you know, or past situations that could have totally been averted or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, in that sense, it's also a growing opportunity, I would say, right?
Yeah.
Perhaps, maybe.
For sure.
So, have you played live yet? Like, with your new stuff?
Not my new stuff, no. And I've never done this live ever. Like, I perform live, but with bands.
Right, right.
Or, you know, in, I mean, theater doesn't count, but that was solo, I guess. But yeah, I've never done and I am struggling to figure out how to do it because I wrote everything. Like, I play everything. So I've been toying around. I've put a couple things on YouTube just to kind of like test it out, see. Because if I can watch it back, I can get an idea of like, okay, this is how it would be live. And it usually ends up just me doing the vocals with a instrumental track. But then I take out a few of the parts so that I'm only playing like one or two instruments and then vocalizing. But I don't know. I want to so bad, but I've really got to figure it out because if I'm not going to be playing something while I'm singing, then I need to be doing something really cool. Otherwise it's going to crush me and I'm going to hate myself. Like it's gotta be, it has to be cool and it has to be dark and it has to be like what I'm picturing, but then watch, I'm going to self-destruct because I'm planning it so hard. I don't know.
Now here's the thing. I think you're beating yourself up too much for that video, by the way, because it's really good. I mean, for doing it yourself, you know, and playing it out, you know.
Thank you.
As far as stage work goes, in my stage tech expertise of high school, lighting is fun. And so depending on what stage persona you want to go with, you know, and.
Oh, yeah. Red.
I figured. I figured as much because your whole Instagram feed is just moody.
Well, that's actually my room. Like I have a light on now for this, but my room is just red LEDs. Like it's terrifying in here.
But is it terrifying though? I mean, like, I don't know. Red's kind of grounding. It's supposed to be grounding, right? Supposedly.
Well, I use it. It's helps with creativity. Anything with like yellows and reds helps with that. And then you want like blue lights for like, if you're going to be thinking critically and logically. So I have those on during the day when I'm working, but it also kind of reminds me of space. So I like that. Also, it reminds me of Mandy, which is like my favorite movie in the world.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Mandy is metal.
I have, I have a Funko Pop of him somewhere. Oh, there it is. It's in the back corner. I have Red Miller Funko Pop.
I love it. I showed my parents that movie when it came out in Blu-ray.
No, you didn't.
Oh, I did. I mean, I went to film school. Like, I have to show them the stuff that, okay, you know, really incites the artistic vision. And I believe my mom told me I have shitty taste and that she's not going to trust my taste in movies or movie recommendations.
No! What?
Yeah, it's also because I also recommend they watch The Witch. Better? Huh?
Oh, The Witch is great too.
Thank you, right?
Not did to you them. Watch, what was the other? It wasn't, it gave me the same vibe. Is it Lamb?
Yeah, I watched Lamb.
Did you like it?
I did.
Yeah, I loved it.
It right. was, I don't know. There's a lot going for that in, like, I don't know, visually, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Like, a lot of, like, what are you trying to say? Are you trying to say anything? Am I looking too much into this? Or you just want us to watch this lamb baby in this dysfunctional family? I don't know. I don't
think that's one that they did want you to read too much into. I don't think there's a lot of hidden meaning in that one. I think it's just weird. And they were like, this will be great. It'll get everyone thinking, and they won't know what they're thinking about.
I watched that on behalf of my one of my sisters. They recommend I watch it because her boyfriend loved it and she hated it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, if your boyfriend loved it, I have to watch it, you know. I liked it, and I don't know, I thought it was fun. A24 is fun, Neon's fun, you know.
All these
movies that come out with these bizarre artistic visions are fun. But yeah. Mandy definitely has that color scheme that you have.
Mm-hmm. And there's another one, Bliss.
I haven't seen Bliss. I
wrote a song about. Oh, it's so good. Bliss. So good. I wrote a song about the movie and made the video about the ending of the movie. So don't watch the movie first.
Is this the one on Prime?
I think it's on Prime, yeah.
With Owen Wilson?
No. God, no. No. Shut it down. Hold on. No, the cover, I think, is a girl's face, like, covered in blood, maybe. Or maybe she's screaming.
Is it a horror movie?
Yeah.
I think I found it.
Fantastic. I watched it, loved it so much that I wrote about it, and then I watched it again the next day, and then I made all my friends watch it.
Yeah, all these screenshots show a lot of cool-ass lighting.
Mm-hmm. Best ending of any movie I've seen in a long time, in my opinion.
Okay. Oh, I'm going to go in blind. I don't want to read anything about it.
Okay.
That's the best way to watch movies.
Say no more.
Yeah. Say no more. But, I was going to ask you then, with your stage persona, like, do you know what you'd want aside from lighting, you know, like, cause you know how Deadmau5 or, you know, Deadmau5 has the mouse head, or what's his name? Marshmallow has that little fucking head thingy. Are you going to have something similar, or are you going to be like super like moody and I don't know, kind of like vampire goth, like, you know, like kind of like a picture when I listen to your movie or your music, you know?
Yeah. Well, so there's a side project that I'm kind of starting, and it's DJing. I'm learning to DJ, and I might have like a helmet or mask thing for that. I wanted to do like a space suit, but somebody already did that. I found them on the internet and I was like, oh my God, I hate you. So maybe an alien, I don't know. I'll figure it out. So for that, yeah. But for this stuff, I don't know. I'll probably just be myself, just like really myself, which will end up being very moody and like morose. But then I'll start talking and it doesn't go at all with my artistic, like once I start talking, I feel like it just seems like a facade. But deep down inside, I am sad, terrified all the time. But my anxiety comes out very exuberantly, I guess.
I dig that. I mean, you should come out like in a xenomorph outfit, you know?
Oh my God. If I could have like, I'd want to have one made out of car parts, like a giant one made out of car parts, and just like wheel it out and sit in it. That'd be cool. That could be my throne. Just start the show inside of a xenomorph. That'd be cool.
I love that. Or what if you got like the front of a spaceship, right? And like your whole DJ booth was behind that, and like your window just had like an alien face, which is where your face actually is, but nobody knew that, you know.
That would be awesome. You know who kind of did that? Kylie Minogue.
Who's she?
She did that. It's, I can't get you out of my head. You know that song? No. Okay, look it up. Very like 2000s techno, but she is super cool. Like her whole theme was like robots and it was way like she was doing that way before people were getting it, you know?
Right.
And she did this one performance where she came out inside of a robot and then she just like stood there and everybody freaked out because it was her. And then pieces of the robot started opening like a transformer kind of. It was just her inside of it. And then she like hits this move. Crowd goes wild. It's incredible.
That's pretty badass.
Yeah. Beyonce stole it. The whole app.
This isn't the first time I've heard of Beyonce stealing something. Because I think in two weeks ago, I had Jessica on, who's a dancer.
Mm-hmm.
And afterward, we were talking about this dance that she wanted to send me. And she said Beyonce stole it. And then she sent me this video that had like a side by side. And my jaw dropped. I was like,
yeah, what? That's the thing. There's stealing ideas and doing your own thing with it, and that's fine.
Yeah, being influenced by it, right?
Yeah, to do that. Yeah, like you have no choice but to be influenced by art. Even if it's almost blatant, but you're honest about it, that's totally cool. But what she does is like insane. Like she will just completely rip it off. She really came out in a robot and had pieces coming off, like exactly the same type of intro music, the lights, all of it. So, you know, she just like spends all day. Well, not all day, because she does actually do stuff, but she spends a lot of time like watching other people and she'd be like, I'm going to do that and that and that and that. No ideas.
Makes you wonder.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What are some of the best highs that you've had while you're doing all this in your short span of experimenting with synth music?
Well, with this specifically, whenever I write a song and I know it's a good song, that's a cool feeling. I get very excited and I have to actually step away from it for a while and come back to it later when I'm less excited so that I can be critical. Otherwise, I'm like, this is perfect. But that's a killer feeling. I would chase that forever. I had one show in Phoenix with my band that is something that will stick out to me forever. It was just like, you know, if you heard of flow state, it's where like
maybe
you're in the moment and you're hitting everything perfectly. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Cause it's hard to get there and you can't, it's going to happen by accident, but you have to practice to get there in the first place. But it was one of those, like the entire show, we did like a 9-song set and every single one of them, it was just like, and it was the energy, it was insane. And I'll never forget that. I hope to experience that specific feeling one more time before I die. But mostly just writing a good song feels really good.
Does that music, your previous band, like, do they have stuff out for people to listen to, or is it just underground?
Yeah, we were called Robert the Devil.
Okay.
And I think it was very like Pixies-esque. But we sang songs about, oh my God, we sang songs about Robert the Devil was one of them, obviously. We had one song about, it was called You're a Cylon. From Battlestar Galactica. Like none of it was, it was interesting, but very fun. And people had fun when they watched. So all that mattered.
The fact you have a Battlestar Galactica song is fucking badass.
I have one on my last album. At the time when that song was written, I only understood the concept of Cylon. I hadn't watched all of Battlestar Galactica. I watched it all like 7 or 8 years ago, and then was obsessed, and it ruined sci-fi for me because I couldn't watch anything else. I tried watching Caprica right after. No, not at all. Then I tried watching the original Battlestar Galactica. Not at all. I tried Firefly. I've tried everything, and Battlestar was so good that I can't watch any more shows. I wish I could. Movies, yeah, but.
Have you tried The Expanse?
I have tried. That's the one where there's the guy with the like bowler hat, right? And he's like,
Yeah.
Yeah. It was good, but it was not Battlestar Galactica. I'm going to be like 50 and then I'll finally be prepared to watch more sci-fi. I heard they're remaking Battlestar though.
I have no idea. My dad's a huge fan of Battlestar and Star Trek.
Oh, Star Trek's good too.
Yeah. I'm more of Star Wars and outer stuff like that. But like The Expanse is really good. And The Foundation, which is on Apple TV, is really complex and good too, I would say. But I get it. Being frustrated with sci-fi, it's hard to nail. I was going to say something. Isaac Asimov, who did The Foundation, like he wrote The Foundation, right? I rewatched iRobot, which is based off his short stories.
Yeah.
The movie didn't hold up.
Well, they did a show based on his short stories, I think. It's like a TV series, and it's just each episode is one of his short stories.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Or no, maybe... Actually, no, that's wrong. That's the guy who did do Android's Dream of Electric Sheep. That's a different one. That's what...
That's Philip K. Dick, yeah.
Yeah. So he has a show. There's a show where each episode is his. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I think it's on Amazon. Speaking of Blade Runner, there is this composer who's European somewhere in the nether realms of badassery, right? He plays Blade Runner's theme song live, like on 50 different keyboards is what it feels like. Like he's surrounded by all these synth keyboards and he's just jamming out. I'll send you that too if I can find it.
Okay. I already have like 6 things on my list here.
Sorry. Okay. where do you hope where do you hope that pursuing these other projects will take you down the line? Like where do you hope to see yourself in like, I don't know, 5 years or something?
Oh, ideally, I'll be living off of my music, but I imagine there would be different avenues for that. I do features, so I'll get paid. It's like $300 a song, and the producer will like send me a song, and then I'll sing over it and record that and write it and everything. And you know, then that goes off into whatever their world is, and I don't know what happens to it. Sometimes they'll go to like placements. Hopefully that's the plan. I also want to start writing like sample packs. So I don't know. Just making music. Hopefully I'm living off of making music, but it doesn't matter so much to me what that is exactly. I just know for sure. I don't ever want like my music, everything that's just mine, like my albums. It's going to sound stupid, but I get really resentful whenever I have to write a song for another purpose, you know, other than just like writing it for me. So really, I want to keep my stuff and have it be like sacred and not something I'm doing for money, because I feel like that would get really terrifying really quickly.
I mean, that kind of leads into what my next question is going to be is like, what are you gaining out of this for kind of pursuing it as a passion, you know? Because if you don't want to do it just for money, which is, I think is really cool. It just really speaks for like the amount of, you know, creativity and passion you actually have for it. Like, what do you hope to get out of that in the long run?
Just out of what I want to get out of making it.
Yeah.
Contentment. I don't think I've ever felt so good about it's almost like self-acceptance. Like it's the first time by me doing this, where I've ever just like accepted that, like, this is who I am. This is my life. Because I'm finally just like doing it. I don't know. And my biggest fear would be that I would give up and I would lose that. And then I would kind of lose that acceptance of who I am. That's super cheesy, but, yeah, I've never felt like better about where I am in life because I finally have this, like I'm finally doing this and I don't want to lose it. That would suck.
That's not cheesy at all. I mean, it's really valid, you know? Especially because like you said, being in the zone, you know, like you're working toward being that creative flow, right? Like it's to be content with life and doing what you love. I mean, what more could you ask for? Right. And being able to find yourself in that whole process and then losing that, that's fucking terrifying. That's like, what's that game or that? I mean, it's a game. Yeah. Squid Games. Have you seen that?
Oh yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. You know, like when they're walking across that glass bridge and they fucking step on the wrong one. That's what that would feel like. Like you're falling to this despair of I was once here, but now I'm rock bottom. You know what I mean? Like that's not cheesy at all.
When you have it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although like the, where I was before, just like pushing it aside for so long, that also sucked a lot. But yeah, I don't think I could, I just don't see myself getting to that point. I really, the way it's going and with how easy it is for me to just sit down and do this for hours and like forget to eat. I can't imagine I'll stop as long as I just like, don't get caught up in what people think about it. Cause if I do, that might be my Achilles heel. That might be like what breaks me.
That's always the ultimate death of an artist.
Mm-hmm.
Is worrying about criticism.
God, and you see it happen all the time.
Yeah, well, and I was listening to a podcast with Ridley Scott. I think it was with Marc Maron, but he basically said that he learned not to listen to criticism early in his career, and he doesn't give a fuck what people think of his movies. And like, even House of Gucci got like criticized heavily, you know, like his latest one, and all these people are bitching about it on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. And I'm like, do you really think Ridley Scott cares?
Like, yeah.
I mean, as an artist, it's hard not to care, I would say, because I mean, you're creating, you're expressing yourself essentially, right? You're being open, you're being vulnerable about it. And when somebody criticizes it without any valid reason as to why they don't like it, a lot of times it's just like, it sucks.
Yeah.
Like, but why does it suck? Like there's no backup to it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's damning because you want to know why. And you're eating at your soul.
But like, even if it is valid, it does not matter.
Yeah.
At all.
No.
Yeah. Wasn't it Scorsese that just put out a movie? Well, I guess it was a few years ago. I hope it was Scorsese. Otherwise, I'm going to. But like everyone's complaining about how long it was and like talking about how it was way too long.
What, The Irishman?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Scorsese. Okay. Yeah, but I don't know. And then he got some heat. He and Denis Villeneuve, you know, who did Dune and later on 2049 and Arrival and all these movies. They both got heat last year because they're criticizing Marvel's formula, right? And essentially people were kicking back on that. But then again, I'm like, do you think they care what you think? I don't know. It's just a matter of, I don't know. Yeah, no, it's the death of an artist's vision. I would agree with that. So,
but a lot of times people are super passionate about that because they do love that. Like people who like, not like professional film critics, but you know, people who watch films critically. Usually they do that because they love film. Like that's their thing. You know.
Yeah.
And so I don't know, like it's worth listening to someone, but it's not worth changing what you do because of them, because that's the entire point. You're supposed to watch something and experience it, like it or not like it. It doesn't mean it has to change.
Right. And well, with film and music, I mean, there's so much that goes into it, right? There's so much that people don't see behind the scenes of like how you get to the final product. And all they're criticizing is just the final product, but they're not empathizing with what went into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas like real good film criticism or real good music criticism will empathize with that, what went into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then still criticize the end product. But I feel like as a filmmaker or writer or, you know, musician as yourself, like reading how they empathize with you first and foremost, but then like why they feel the way they feel, I feel like that'd be a lot more valid and not as critical on yourself as it would be if somebody's just like, this fucking sucks.
Yeah.
Welcome to Twitter, you know?
Yes.
Or yes. Instagram. I'm learning Instagram is just as toxic as Twitter and Facebook, and it's just, they're all toxic. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, it's hard to get away from that.
Yeah. Okay. We'll start wrapping this up because I know you got to go, but I like to end this on two questions, technically three, depending on how you look at the last one. But the first question is like, how do you hope you can inspire others?
Oh, to just do it. Like whatever it is that you're thinking about doing, it does not matter. but it matters to you. So just do it. If that's to like make a movie or write poetry or, you know, just do it. Like also read the book, The Art or The War of Art. Yeah. The War of Art. That changed how I feel about making music entirely. The best book ever. If you're an artist, it will humble you. it's great.
The War of Art. I'm going to add that to my Amazon.
Fantastic.
I've not heard of that. I'm excited for that. And then to end this on, what's one piece of advice that has stuck to you throughout the years and how do you apply it?
Oh, someone once told me that the reason anyone is good at what they do, at least if they're an artist, is because they've given me a lot of good tidbits, but this one's my favorite, is because they have good taste. So if you have good taste, then you know what you're trying to achieve. And as long as you don't stop trying to get there, you'll make something really good because you have good taste. You can be a bad artist and be an artist and doing it because you practice for a long time, but you already have bad taste. So sorry. but good artists start with good taste and the rest is just trying. Just like keep doing it.
I love it. That's good. Where can people find you? What have you got going on? Let's promote yourself here.
Mostly on Instagram. I can't keep up with a lot of social media. I'm on Instagram a lot though, so at least you can see me a lot there. It's at @eyes_keen. It's @eyes_keen. And then I'm on Spotify, Eyes Keen. I'm on Bandcamp. You can get my music there if you like Bandcamp. I just put it out there for free, so you don't have to buy it on there. Also, I can't use PayPal, so that's also why I put it out for free on there. And I don't know, just Google Eyes Keen. It's the age of the internet. You'll find me.
I love it. Well, thank you for coming on. I've been meaning to reach out to you for a bit. And then luckily we had a mutual friend.
Yeah. A very cool one at that.
She's connected. Yeah. See, she's connected me to the one two episodes ago. And then
Mackenzie.
No, Jessica.
Jessica. Oh, okay.
Baines. She was on the episode 2 weeks or 2 weeks ago, but.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. But the, Jessica and Alexis both know this person that I'm interviewing next week, I guess. And I know her too personally. It's just like, I can't believe it took me this long to anyway. So it was nice. It was nice meeting you. And I thank you for coming on and sharing your craft.
Nice meeting you too. You'll have to send me we'll have to talk about movies. Do you have a letterbox?
Oh, did you just ask if I have a letterbox?
Yeah.
Do you know what letterbox is? Ah, yes. Okay. Well, we will.
Don't make fun of my watch list, though.
Oh, you're good. You know, I have a lot of shitty hot takes on there. I'm just hoping that one time somebody just calls me out on a shitty hot take. So, like, if you see a shitty hot take, like, this sucks, I'm like, you're right.
No, nice.
No, I think it's cool that you have Letterboxd. Not a lot of people do. So yes, yeah. we will share that after this is done. But yeah, find eyes on all the stuff. Nope, just kidding. Instagram and Spotify. And then you could find the podcast on, I don't know, all the stuff, I guess. But anyways, yes, thank you for coming on, and we will stay in touch.
Good to meet you. We'll talk soon.